Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Everyday Christian Podcast. I'm your host, Chase Green. This is a podcast where we remind ourselves that God deserves every praise from every creature every day. Last week on the podcast, we had Brother Matt McBrayer join us. He is my co-host with the Father Time Podcast, and we discussed another topic on the theme, The Struggle is Real. We talked about selfishness, and this week we're talking about struggling with pride. Brother Matt is back with us again for this episode, and I appreciate you for joining us, Matt.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
As I said, Matt is my co-host on the Father Time Podcast. Make sure you go and check out that podcast. You can find it in your podcast app. You can also find it at scatteredabroad.org, and you can check out our master feed as well and find it there. We talk about various things that deal with fatherhood and how we should be the spiritual leaders of our home. Hope that you'll check that out. It appears every first day of each month, except for June and July, with the Scattered Abroad Network. So appreciate you thinking about checking that out. We are talking about struggling with pride this week, and we're talking about how pride can be very, very detrimental in our walk with Christ. Matt, do you have some opening thoughts about the sin of pride?
Yeah, pride is just one of those things that is kind of easy to get sucked into, because before long you start realizing that you're too far gone. You've done so much already when it comes to pride. Humility is something that you have to strive for and you have to work on. And, pride just kind of happens when you let it. Romans 12:3 says, "For I say through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." And so, yeah, you think too much of yourself and, you get those delusions of grandeur, if you will, and you let that get to your head. And that's where, pride comes in. You just start thinking too much of yourself.
Yeah, there are a lot of warnings about pride and haughtiness, arrogance throughout the scriptures. And pride essentially is lifting ourselves up, even to the point where we might think that we're essentially a godlike status in our own minds. That would be pride. It's all over the place. There's even a entire month of the year that celebrates the idea of pride, that being June and Pride Month and the associated evils of the LGBTQ agendas. But I think there's plenty of biblical examples of people who had pride. And one example that immediately kind of comes to my mind would be Genesis chapter 11, when they were building up Babel, and they're trying to build this tower that would reach the heavens. And if you read in Genesis chapter 11, it says in verse number 4, the people were saying, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves." So I think that at the root of the sin there at Babel, which of course resulted in God confounding the languages, the root of the sin that caused this was pride. And that's just one example of many. I'm sure, Matt, you could probably think of some examples of prideful individuals in the Bible that were dealt with. I don't know. Can you think of maybe one or two?
Yeah. I think King Saul, for one. I've been going through 1 Samuel, and Saul, he just kind of looks out for number one throughout the whole thing. First, he's saying, "Well, I'm afraid of the people," and he does what they say. And why does he do what he say? Well, it's because he's self-preservation, Then he starts hating David and wanting to kill David for really no reason. And then Jonathan even comes to David's rescue and is trying to talk to his own father about, his hate against David. And, Saul, again, is looking out for himself, and he's even saying, "Look, you should think about this differently. You should think about yourself, because as long as David is alive, you're never going to be king." And so, he's even trying to pass down that selfish pride onto his son. Another one I think of, and this one probably is the one that jumps out really the most in my mind, is Haman. You know, and Esther. Yeah, I mean, think about him. How do I honor the one that the king delights to honor? And Haman's thinking, oh man, that's me. That's me. That's the king wants to honor me. Well, let me tell you all the things that I would like to have done for me. Okay, go do that for Mordecai. And then he's like, what, are you kidding me? And then he goes on and he's like, well, I'm going to have him killed. So he builds this giant, place to hang Mordecai, and then he gets hung there himself, which I think is a great illustration for Proverbs 16:18 that says, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. That plays out in his life fairly well.
Yeah, those are great examples. I think of one more. I'm sure we could think of many, but I also think the parable of the Pharisee and the publican. The Pharisee there, he basically prayed this long prayer, showing off essentially, I do this, 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 and that, and I'm not like this other guy over here. So he was totally off base in basically promoting himself in prayer. I heard it said recently that the Pharisee in that parable, he wasn't really praying to God, if you really think about it. He was praying to let everybody else hear what he was supposedly saying to God. So yeah. That would be an example of pride as well. Why do you think that pride is included in seven things that God hates from Proverbs chapter 6?
Yeah. I look at that passage and it says, these six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him: a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among brethren. A lot of bad things there, and it starts off with a proud look. And that is just the idea that, man, I'm better than you. I am better than you, and you are beneath me. And, I can think of a lot of problems that come along with that. But when you think that you are better than others, that is not going to produce anything that Christ came to teach. You're thinking only of yourself. What if Christ did that? What if Christ said, thought only of himself, thought, I'm the Son of God, I am better than all these people, which is no doubt true. I mean, it's true. He is better than all of us, no doubt. But what if he thought that way? And then he said, forget this. I'm not going to die for everybody. I'm more important than that. Of course, he knew better things to come, and he was, he humbled himself already to become a man. But when you think of having a proud look or thinking that you're better than somebody else, that just goes against a lot of principles. One, I know that we're going to talk about in a little bit with when it comes to humility. When you have this proud look, when you think that you're better than somebody else, you're not going to do a lot of things. Like, for instance, as a Christian, we're supposed to reach out to the lost. If you think that you're better than everybody else, you're going to reach out to the lost? No, I'm not. I'm better than them, mm-hmm. And I've known of brethren who acted that way towards the lost. I literally had somebody tell me one time, we are more important than they, speaking of those outside of the church. And I thought, are you kidding me? You have not read the parable of the lost things at all. you don't understand that there's more joy in heaven over one sinner that repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. You lost that one. But having pride, keeps you thinking only of yourself, which really leads to other things. It's leading to, and I think last time we talked about, selfishness and how selfishness leads to sin. Pride is all about being selfish. That's what's so interesting about the whole, like you mentioned before with the Pride Month, like how ridiculous. If you know the Bible at all, you would never celebrate Pride Month. ever. Right. Not even, you know, not just for the word's sake, not even for what it really stands for with homosexuality and all those other things. But, you know, you realize pride is destructive and you shouldn't be prideful. And man, you got a month of people who are selfish and are thinking only of themselves. And that, and how do we know they're thinking only of themselves? Well, you know what? This is something that's wrong. You know, it's sinful. It destroys lives. It destroys relationships. You know, it causes mental problems. Like the list goes on and on. And you have people celebrating it like it's something good. So it's just amazing to me that is acceptable.
You're exactly right. You know, one of the things that you talked about was looking down on others that are not Christians. And one of the things that I've been thinking about lately is Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. It says, "But when he saw the multitudes," that is, Jesus saw the multitudes, "he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest.'" You know, I think about it that way. Jesus looked at the lost as people who were weary. Weary with what? Weary with sin and mm-hmm. in need of saving. And so are we living our lives as Christians better than the masses? Well, we should be. But that still doesn't give us a right to think highly of ourselves and arrogantly and whatnot, pridefully. We need to say, hey, we want them to live as Christians as well. We want to evangelize them,
yeah.
teach the lost. So I thought that was a good point as well. The middle letter in the word pride is I, just like we said that the middle letter in the word sin is I. And we've been talking about selfishness last week, and it kind of bleeds over into this. So does selfishness and the idea of I, or, you know, me, does it play into pride as well?
Absolutely. You know, as we've already discussed both, you know, today and last week, selfishness leads to all sin. And so since that is the case, then when you only think of yourself, you know, as someone who is prideful, you know, what would they do? You know, you're gonna fall into all sorts of traps, all sorts of things that God hates. Pride is gonna take you there. You know, pride is gonna cause you to think only of yourself and think only about pleasing yourself. And you know, you'll have this kind of narcissistic religion, if you will, where you're just gonna do the things that make you happy. There are people out there in the religious world that do just that, that talk about that very thing. God wants me to be happy. I remember being in college, and I spent a whole lot of time in the college weight room, and, you know, namely because nobody was there. So I could go in there. I mean, I could probably study in there if I wanted to. I never did, but, you know, you could have. And there was a guy that would come in there every now and then, and he would work out. And he was one of those weird guys that would go and he would, like, you know, flex in front of the mirror for an inordinate amount of time. You know, it's one thing to see if something's working or not.
Looking for progress or whatnot.
Yeah. But he was like, and I watched him one day, and he kissed his bicep, and like, and I was like, dude, you're, what are you doing? I even said something. I was like, what is wrong with you? and he said, God gave me this body, and you know what? God wants me to use it. And I was like, yeah, I don't think so. I mean, yeah, God wants you to do good things with your body. What you look like you're planning to do is not good. So stop it. You know, that's not what God doesn't want you to just, God wants you to be happy, but God knows that your happiness only comes through following him. Right. And, you know, true happiness is only by following his will.
Fear God, yeah. Keep his commandments.
Right. Exactly. In Proverbs 11:2, when pride comes, then comes shame. But with the humble is wisdom. You know, you have pride. Well, pride's going to bring you shame, you know. And then, you know, you've got humility. Humility brings you wisdom. You know, the fear of the Lord, Proverbs 8:13, this is a good one for talking about pride. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance, and the evil way and the perverse mouth I hate. You know, so you get rid of it all. You know, don't, and the Lord hates evil. Well, guess what? Pride and arrogance and the evil way, they all go together. Yeah. And so, yeah, people that have, you know, pride, you know, they're, you know, okay, I guess growing up in the South, maybe we need to clarify this. We said something when I was growing up, and, you know, the idea of taking pride in your work, that is really not, we're not using that word properly. But you know, that's, you're basically saying, hey, have fun doing a good job, you know. But we
have kind of used, have some self-respect, that sort of idea.
Right. Yeah, that's really that. Yeah. But yeah, the pride is sinful. That's not the same thing. Yeah, you know, we have to, you know, think, you know, humbly here, you know, not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think, from Romans 12 verse 3.
Yeah. Great thoughts. So what I want to do as we kind of gear down here is I want to talk about the opposite of pride. So we've shown very clearly that pride is a problem. Let's talk about the opposite of pride then, and that is humility. I think we need to mention humility when it comes to the plan of salvation, because you think about it, if somebody's not humble, he's not going to listen to the word of God. If somebody's not humble, he may refuse to believe in Christ. If somebody's not humble, he probably is going to refuse to repent. If he's not humble, he probably is going to refuse to confess Christ. He's probably going to refuse to be baptized into Christ as well. So I think humility is extremely important. And for reference there, if you go to James chapter 4, beginning in verse number 6, it says, but he that is God gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So that's key. If we want God's grace, a.k.a. we all want God's grace, if we want it, we have to be humble. Verse 7, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Why? What is this doing? It's humbling us. When we sorrow over our sins to the point that we say, you know what, I'm going to stop doing that, I'm going to repent of it, then that's the humility that God's looking for. So verse number 10 wraps it up. This is James 4 again. It says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Notice it doesn't say lift yourself up. It says God will lift you up when you humble yourself. So I don't know what you want to add to that, Matt, but humility is extremely important.
Yeah, so I would like to focus on one aspect of the plan of salvation. I think, you know, you hit the nail on the head with all those things. But one thing that has always perplexed me when it comes down to this, I think there's a humility aspect to this. When it comes down to baptism, it's kind of funny that so many people in the religious world argue about baptism and whether or not that you should do that, whether or not it is going to save you, even though, you know, we see passages that clearly teach that, yeah, you need to be baptized in order to be saved, you know? You think about this when it comes to baptism, and of all the things in the plan of salvation, you know, what do you do versus what is done to you? You know, when you hear the word, you're doing something. You're hearing. You've got to humble yourself in hearing. You've got to humble yourself. You got to repent. You know, you hear, you got to believe, you know, you're believing, you're repenting, you're confessing. But when you're baptized, somebody's doing that to you. You know, you're not having to do anything. And it's such a, you know, submissive act that I think some people just missed the point on it. I mean, even I think about this in comparison to 2 Kings 5 with Naaman. You know, what does he do? You know, he's a little distraught here. He thought that, you know, he'd go and see the prophet and the prophet would, you know, do something amazing, you know, wave his hands around, say something and something neat would happen. And all of a sudden he would be healed. And yet, you know, oh, I got to go dip in the Jordan, like of all places, the Jordan, you know, and that dirty river, you know. And so, yeah, you know, but what does he do? You know, I think it was John DeBerry a few years back at the, I say a few years, watch it be like 15 years ago, I don't know. But a few years back at the Memphis School of Preaching Lectures where he got up and he was talking about Naaman and he kept saying this over and over again. He said, get over yourself and get in the water, you know. And, you know, that's what a lot of people need to do today is get over themselves and get in the water. Oh, I don't want to do that. Why don't you want to do that? You know, I've even had people say, I don't want to get wet. Be like, do you take showers? Like, you know, this is not hard. Like, right. You know, I've watched people get baptized into a frozen river where they break the ice open and then they go and they're baptized. I'm not even asking you to do that. I got a warm baptistry here. You know, Right. Like it's not hard, but Yeah. It is a submissive act and you have to be humble to do it. You really have to be humble to follow God's plan of salvation or his will altogether. You know, you've got to be humble.
You're exactly right. You also triggered a thought on what a lot of times the thing that they say to contradict what the Bible teaches on it. They'll say, well, baptism's a work. Baptism's a work. Colossians 2, verse 12 says, buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through the faith in the working of God. So God is the one that actually is applying the blood of Christ to you when you're baptized into Christ. John 6, verse...
Yeah, I was going to go there.
Yeah, John 6, verse 28 and 29.
Yep.
Then they said to him, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. And so we believe in God and we're baptized into Christ. And who is the one actually doing the work that results in our salvation? It's actually God, because he's the one and the only one who could send his only begotten son to die for us. And so Right. We're just responding and doing what God said to accept what he did for us. And it takes humility, takes humility to admit that and to correspond to it.
Well, you know, man oftentimes thinks that they have a better idea. But when you look at the Word of God, you humbly submit yourself to God, then you'll change that thought process and go, you know what? I don't know anything. I need to do what God says and let that be it.
Yep. And I've studied with people and I've seen both sides of the coin. I've seen people read what the Word says and it hits them like a ton of bricks and they respond in obedience. You know, Hebrews 4:12,
right.
The Word of God judges that they had a good heart and they see it and then they end up obeying. And, you know, this phenomenon is also seen with Acts chapter 2. People were cut to the heart and they obeyed. And then a little bit later at Stephen's preaching, they were cut to the heart and they gnashed on Stephen and stoned him to death. Well, I've also seen where people will be confronted with what the Word of God actually says. And rather than humbling themselves and accepting the Word, they dig in and they refuse to agree with what the Word says. I've heard excuses like, well, they changed what the Word says. And, you know, I know that says this, but the Holy Spirit's telling me this. And I'm like, okay, do you believe that the God who gave us his Word and 2 Timothy 3:16 says that all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and verse 17 tells us that it will make us complete, the inspired word will make us complete. Do you believe that? And if so, do you believe that a God who can say that about his word is capable of giving us an infallible word? Do you believe that or not? Because if you don't believe that, then there's no point in us continuing this discussion. And it's just really sad when people will dig in pride and refuse to admit what the Bible very plainly teaches.
Right. Yeah.
So I don't know what else we want to add to this, but pride is a major problem, and it's something we all have to be on the lookout for. I mean, we're talking about the struggle is real as it pertains to Christians. This is the Everyday Christian podcast, and any number of things that we're going to talk about this season, we may find ourselves struggling with. So I guess as we kind of wrap up this episode, Matt, I don't have this on the outline, but I think it's a good way to wrap this up. What can we do if we are struggling with pride?
Yeah, you know, we need to think, well, first of all, a couple of things. I think that you need to do two things primarily when you're dealing with any type of sin. And that is, think about your daily prayer life. Are you praying? You know, are you praying by yourself? I mean, well, I'm not talking meal times. I'm talking about just sitting down, you and God in prayer. That and then Bible study. A lot of this really is eliminated when you have Bible study. And I know I've mentioned this before on, I don't know if it's been on Father Time or what, but I used to walk around with 3x5 note cards in my back pocket. And I had on those note cards just Bible verses of things that I was struggling with. So like if I was, you know, upset about something, I would put the whatever topic that was on my note cards. And I'd walk around whenever I had downtime. You know, this was pre like smartphone era, but I would pull out those note cards and I just memorize them. And that really helps, because whenever sin is at your door and all you can think about is Bible verses rolling through your head, you're not going to sin. You have to make a conscious effort to sin. And if you love God and you've got those verses rolling through your head, you're just not going to do it. And so I look at that as something. But, you know, also just, you know, when it comes to pride, just constantly trying to be humble, you know, just working at humility all the time is going to be key when it comes to pride. So maybe study up on verses of humility and be thinking about that, because really you don't want to think about the negative as much as you do the positive. Psychologically speaking, we just don't work well with thinking on negatives. We do much better with thinking on positives. You know, our brains just click into place when we do that. So the thing wouldn't be, well, I need to focus on verses on pride. And no, the thing is, you need to focus on verses on humility. The pride verses are for warning you. The humility verses are for building you up. And so do that. You know, go think about humility a lot. And then you'll keep things in perspective.
That's a great point. I think I'll wrap up on Psalm 8, verses 4 through 9, really speaks to that. You know, thinking of ourselves humbly, how can we think more humbly than this? The psalmist writes Psalm 8, verses 4 through 9, "What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and all the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth." You know, the psalmist is thinking there, wow, God has entrusted us, of all people, God has entrusted us with being caretakers of his creation. And we need to think of ourselves minute, so small compared to the Almighty God who created us. What is man that thou art mindful of him? I love that psalm there in Psalm 8, and we need to think of ourselves truly as that small compared to the big God that loves us, created us, sent his son to die for us. The old children's song, "My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do." We need to constantly remind ourselves of how big he is, if you will, compared to us. Any final thoughts before we wrap it up, Matt?
No, I think that about does it.
Appreciate you for helping us out on these two episodes, Matt. We'll have to have you back on in a subsequent season of the Everyday Christian podcast. Make sure, again, that you as the listeners go and check out all the different podcasts that we have to offer. Check out Father Time. Also, check out the podcast that Matt helps with on Fridays, which is, what is it called, Matt?
Days Gone By.
Days Gone By. And what does that have to do with?
So we, every Friday, we have a lesson from a preacher from Days Gone By. And we air one of those every Friday. So that's been good. I've been trying to stay on a kick of having, I've got several Guy in Woods lessons that I've acquired, and I'm trying to do a Guy in Woods lesson every first Friday of the month. And so I'm going to keep that going. I got several others. Also, Ironworks, we do an Ironworks podcast once a month. And so there's that. But yeah.
And do you know what day of the month that comes out on?
I believe it's the last Saturday of the month. I might be wrong about that exactly, but we've got a few episodes out. It's just once a month, and we're going to go through the entire year doing that. And awesome. And it basically covers the extra things that we could not fit into Conformed or Transformed, the book. So,
nice. Very good. Well, go and check that out, as I said. And as always, we appreciate you, the listener, for tuning in to the Scattered Abroad Network, for tuning in to the Everyday Christian Podcast. And Lord willing, check us back out next Monday for another episode of the Everyday Christian Podcast.